someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
All of his life, my guest has been on the front lines of a community in transition. But for the past half decade, he has been that community's official representative and its voice on the D.C. City Council. A man on the move, a servant leader, a true son of Howard. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today is the chair of the Committee on Business and Economic Development, Ward 5 D.C. Council Member Kenyon McDuffie. Welcome.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Frederick.
So, Council Member McDuffie, you actually represent the first district that I lived in America. I lived on 14th and Jackson, Northeast, fantastic neighborhood in Brooklyn. It turns out that you yourself, you were born in Ward 5.
Yeah, I was born right on North Capitol Street, across from the McMillan Reservoir, really in eyesight of the tower over at Howard, the clock, and really grew up a fan of Howard University. My neighborhood didn't have a lot of college graduates, but we did have the opportunity to walk up and peek at some of the football games through the fence and to really sort of get a peek into what college life was like. And so I really appreciated the location over in North Capitol Street where I grew up. I live in a family home that's been in my family for more than 60 years. Wow. It's a home that my grandparents bought back in 1951, where my dad and his siblings were raised, and I was raised along with my siblings. And my wife, Princess, and I brought the home from my mom back in 2007, and so we live there now with my two young daughters, Casey and Josie.
Oh, that's fantastic. So tell me what growing up was like. You have three siblings.
I have two older brothers and a younger sister, and growing up sort of in the middle of those siblings, I had an opportunity to really have a nurturing environment. My mom and dad were both employees of the government. My dad worked for district government, and my mom worked for the federal government, and really was a close-knit family. We stuck together, blue-collar, working-class family in a primarily blue-collar, working-class neighborhood where lots of folks worked in government, but then there were also a sense of folks who were struggling who weren't employed. And so kind of grew up during the 80s and the 90s when the district was really going through some of its most challenging times, when we were known across the country and across the world, quite frankly, as the murder capital of the United States of America. And so I grew up in an environment where a lot of my peers were, dropping out of high school, going off to prison early, teen pregnancies and things like that. And quite frankly, even lost some of my friends to violence on the street. And so it was really a tough upbringing, but I had the benefit of a two-parent household who really made sure that they communicate to us the importance of a solid educational foundation, making sure that we worked hard, and they, despite our circumstances and despite the environment in which I grew up, really let me and my siblings know that we could work hard and we can do things differently than the things that we see every day. And so I really appreciated that from my parents.
No, great. When I moved to D.C., one of the things that I loved was actually meeting people who were originally from D.C. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, every time I meet someone who's originally from D.C., I get so excited, and especially now with so much gentrification. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts as you look at the city and the amount of gentrification that has taken place? And unfortunately, there aren't too many Washingtonians like yourself who, are reinvesting in the homes that their parents Absolutely. Bought and staying in the city. What are your thoughts about that?
That is such an important point. In the District of Columbia, we are sort of victims of our own success. When, you've had tough times in economies throughout the country, the district has sort of been isolated because we have a strong federal presence with all the agencies here. And so while others were struggling with employment, we had that the federal government here, as well as a really vibrant community of universities like Howard and others, who were a lot of the folks who were employed by in our hospitals as well. So what we see is approximately 1,000 residents move into the District of Columbia per month, and it's sort of been that way for the last few years or so. And people are coming because of the uniqueness of the District of Columbia. We've got a lot of opportunity in terms of employment and education, and it's great. But at the same time, it's putting pressure on our housing market. And so the housing in the District of Columbia has been on the rise consistently for a while now. Unfortunately, incomes aren't keeping pace with the cost of housing. And so the pressure and the gentrification and the impact that it's having on neighborhoods, some of which are drastically changed. Just in my neighborhood, across the street in Bloomingdale, you used to be able to get a house when I was growing up for less than $100,000. And houses easily along First Street are going for $800,000, $900,000, in some cases over $1 million. In my own neighborhood, my grandparents bought the house, probably for about $15,000. My parents bought it for probably less than $40,000. And my wife and I bought it from our house, so for my mom, for less than $400,000. You try to purchase a home in my neighborhood now, and you're going to pay anywhere between $650,000 to $800,000. And that has really changed, in some cases, the character of neighborhoods. It's not necessarily a bad thing, because we want people to come to the District of Columbia. We want them to make investments in the homes and to start families and work here in the city. That's exactly what we want. But at the same time, we want individuals who've been here through the tough times, mm-hmm. in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 70s, when it wasn't so popular to live here. We want them to be able to enjoy some of the prosperity that we're seeing in the District of Columbia as well.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Council Member Kenyon McDuffie. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So to switch gears a bit, looking at Howard University being in just a stone's throw away, that wasn't you didn't have a direct part to Howard. You took a couple of jobs before, and tell me what those jobs were.
Sure. When I went to high school, I sort of started off in public schools, all of us did, and then my parents didn't feel like we were getting the education that we deserved and that they wanted us to have. And so my mom took on an extra part-time job. My dad took on an extra full-time job to send us to Catholic school. Fast forward, they sent both my brothers off to college and just didn't have enough money to keep sending me and my sister to Catholic school. And so I ended up transferring to high school at Woodrow Wilson, okay. in my 11th grade year. And, I thought about college. Obviously, my mom really wanted us to go to college, and she stressed the importance of it. But the challenge for me was, Dr. Frederick, looking at my brothers, who by the time I had gotten to 12th grade had both dropped out of college, I looked at them and said, you know what? They were stronger students than I was. They both had higher SAT scores than me. Why should I even bother trying college? Let me just go get that good government job that my parents had and that, people in my neighborhood are really striving for. What I didn't realize, and the unfortunate reality is, you graduate from 12th grade, they aren't just giving government jobs away for high school graduates, right. without any skills. And so I had a tough time when I graduated from Wilson High School and didn't have any job prospects lined up. And ended up working for the National Zoo. And so that was my first job. My mom actually stayed on my case, though, and said, Kenyon, go to school. Kenyon, go to college. You have to be able to create opportunities for yourself. And so just to appease my mom, I enrolled in the University of the District of Columbia, and I took two courses. I got an F in one. I withdrew from the other. And that was the brief history to my initial college experience. But when I was dropping out of college, fortunately, I got a call back from the U.S. Postal Service. And so I ended up working at the United States Postal Service as a letter carrier. Okay. And I did that for several years. But while my own individual financial circumstances had improved with that federal government job, I continued to see people in my neighborhood struggle. I continued to see deterioration of my neighborhood and alleys aren't being repaved, people struggling to make ends meet. My friends going off to prison and a lot of the violence happening, opening drug markets, and decided that I wanted something more out of life. And I re-enrolled in University of the District of Columbia. Didn't stay there long. I transferred over to Howard University, where I wanted to go and where my sister was attending. And I did really well. I mean, Howard, for me, just really was a nurturing environment that gave me a sense of pride and a sense that I could almost do anything I wanted to put my mind to. There were so many examples of people who had, walked across the yard and sat in Douglas Hall and sat at Locke who had gone on to do some amazing things. And I began to realize that I could, if I put my mind to it and I put in the work and the effort, I could likely do some of the same things.
Absolutely. So you majored in political science, mm-hmm. and once you graduated, you obviously had a heavy interest in politics.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, you know, why become a council member at that time in particular,
sure.
given what was happening in the district,
yeah.
and so on, when you initially ran?
Yeah, you know, again, growing up in my household, my parents weren't particularly political. They had a strong sense of community and family, but not politics. And so I did, when I was at Howard, begin to realize, you know, more so the importance of taking an opportunity to give back to the community. That sense of service that you get at Howard was something that just resonated with me. And I wanted to begin in my community, which had given me so much over the years, but which was clearly struggling around the time when I was at Howard at the late 90s, early 2000s. And so I got involved in my community first. And I eventually became president of my civic association. We put in place a number of programs, a community day. We put in place an annual scholarship, a reunion that we did to raise money for an annual scholarship that's still in place right now. And the sense of community sort of manifested itself into politics, right? So I wanted to improve my community. One of the ways you do that is to engage government. And so I happened to engage my local council member who is also a graduate of Howard University Law School, and said, look, we need some help in this neighborhood. And he came out and he walked the neighborhood with us at my request. We pointed out all the things that were going on in my neighborhood, all the streets and alleys that we needed repaved, the trees that needed trimming, the trash that needed to be picked up. And he eventually offered me an internship in his council office. And I took advantage of that, given some of the programs that Howard had, where I got credit to do the internship for that member of the council. And in doing that, realized the link between the service that I was providing in my community and the influence that elected officials have on the provision of services and programs and things like that.
Now, what are some of your priorities in your position on the council today?
In the time that I've been on the council, I've worked very hard to address things that residents in Ward 5 have raised as concerns. You mentioned the tough time that existed in the district when I ran for office initially and won in 2012. We had a member who had resigned and pled guilty to a felony. And so one of the first things that I worked on was comprehensive campaign finance reform, where we put in place a number of measures to address the sort of perception of influence in politics and donations to elected office. And so I was really successful in doing that. Since then, I've turned my attention to things that have been, I think, a problem in any city USA, which is criminal justice reform. I worked really hard as the chair of the Judiciary Committee last council period in 2015 and 16 to pass the Neighborhood Engagement Achieved Results Act, which we refer to as the NEAR Act, that ushered in a health approach to violence prevention in the District of Columbia. We pulled together some of the best practices to put in that place in that bill. We got the NEAR Act passed unanimously at the council, and I'm very pleased by that. More recently, last year, we passed a comprehensive juvenile justice reform bill that made sure that we would end the use of punitive solitary confinement in our juvenile justice facilities in the District of Columbia. We looked at the importance of ending life without parole for people who are sentenced as juveniles. And so a number of comprehensive things we've been able to do on criminal justice reform as well. And now as a new chair of the Committee on Business and Economic Development, I'm looking to make sure that we can continue to grow our local economy and connect people with jobs, and not just any jobs, but meaningful employment that's tied to the emerging markets here in the District of Columbia, business and professional services, hospitality, eds and meds, with our strong and robust universities and our healthcare systems. And so those are some of the things that are important to the residents that I represent, and I've been really working hard to try to get those accomplished.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Councilmember Kenyon McDuffie. He's a council member from Ward 5, and more importantly, he's a true son of Howard. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.